Hello, hello. Welcome to the Mother Days. I'm one of your hosts, Teresa Palmer.
And I'm Sarah Rae Olson. Hi, daisies. Welcome, everybody. Hello. You guys, we are doing this on such an interesting day. I actually had my angel reading with Taylor Page today, and she is who we interviewed, at the first of the year. And so she offered me an angel reading. And so I was really excited to sit down with her, and we just did that today, which is crazy.
And it was amazing because Sarah sent me voice memos. I had like four in a row to listen to this morning as I had just woken up. I was listening to them. I was like, oh my gosh. Mark was laughing next to me because I was getting so excited by everything Sarah was telling me. And he was like, oh, I love you girls so much. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best. Anyway, I cannot wait for you to share it with everyone because it was so beautiful and some really profound things were brought up. So do you want to dive in? Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Well, okay, so I'm going to share some of the stuff that we discussed. But, you know, if you've never had a reading before, I'd never even heard of an angel reading. So this is like kind of calling into your guardian angels. And you know, a lot of it really feels like if I'm looking at like what I can apply it to in life, it's like almost like you're going into a place of prayer. And if you're religious or grew up in religion, like you kind of know, like you went to this place of prayer all the time. And so, it's like going into this place of prayer, and it's definitely, a beautiful, like feels really beautiful and safe and, just very like positive and joyful place. And so, I sat down with Taylor and she just had me do this like little prayer to call into my, like angels. And she said, the first thing that she said was that she really felt this energy of like a grandmother or like a great grandmother, because it felt distant, like more distant. And maybe it was like from like a long time ago. And so I immediately was like, well, that's my great grandmother, because we were really, really close.
And you were talking about that on the podcast.
Yeah. And I talked about that on the podcast. And so, but she said that my great grandmother was there and she was holding a baby, which I thought was really amazing and totally made me cry. I was like, what? What does that mean?
What kind of baby? What does baby look like?
I know. I was like, what? But she, you know, she said that like a lot of times that symbolizes, you know, that it's like a soul that's maybe coming in to you. And so she was just like, the energy from that was just really, you know, exciting and beautiful. And it was funny because my dad was also there. And she said that sometimes that the, you know, your like ancestors will answer questions that you have before you even get to ask your angels. And a lot of times that kind of shows them that, hey, we're here and we see and we hear everything that you're asking about. And so before we had done the reading, I had sat there and like written down what it was that I wanted to ask my angels. And before I even got a chance to say it or anything, my dad and my great grandmother were both calling those things out, like the first three things on my list, which is so crazy. And it was so like crazy. Home, family, baby, like things like that, right? Work, like there were things that were already coming out from them that she was relaying to me that I was just like, what? This is the first three things on my list, you know? And
oh my gosh.
Which was so cool. But one of the things I wanted to share was that she said that my dad was sort of surrounded by music notes. And she said that he sends me signs of music or something like that. She was like, it's like he sends music to you. And that's like a sign, like there was always music between you. And I was like, I know exactly what this means because for multiple days in a row, like a few months ago, I was waking up in the morning with a song in my head. And it was a song that my dad used to sing all the time as like a joke. Like he would, you know, sing the song and it was like a kind of a funny song. And it was sort of like a play on things. And the song was playing in my head every morning. And I was like, this is so weird. I was like walking through the living room, just like humming the song. And I'm like, why am I humming that song? It's not a song you hear on the radio anymore. Like it's an old song. And so then one morning, it just hit me like, oh, this is from my dad. Like my dad is putting this, I'm having this song because this is from my dad. As soon as I said that, the song never played in my head again. Like I never woke up with it in my head. It was done. So it was like, he was sending it to me as like a joke, like a funny thing to make me laugh. And she said, in the reading that he likes to do things that are funny to make me laugh. And he was a very funny and sarcastic and like silly person. And then the other thing I wanted to share with you guys, because you know so much of the story of my dad and when, you know, I was losing him and everything. So there was this moment at the end when he wasn't able to speak, and he really struggled to breathe. And she actually said to me, so your dad is showing me his, like, he's pointing to his throat chakra and he's like showing me there's this feeling of like not being able to talk, and that there's this pressure on my chest where I can like hardly breathe. And, and she's like, I'm just like really, really struggling to breathe. And there was this time towards the end when it was just such a struggle. And she's like, let me know if that resonates with you. And I was like, yeah, 100%. Like that's exactly what it was like when I was sitting with him at the end. And she said, he wants you to know that everything that you said to him and sang to him and communicated to him during that time that you were with him, like he heard all of it. He was totally there and heard it. He just couldn't communicate or express anything back to me. I mean, at this point, like he wasn't even opening his eyes, right? And I basically just sang and talked to him all the way through him crossing to the other side and like holding his hand and everything. And so it was just kind of like an amazing moment of validation of like that time and hearing from him what I expected to be true, which was just that that he could hear me, and that also, you know, I just don't, there's not a lot of people that know like how intense that was right at the very end. And so that was just really beautiful that she relayed that. And hold on, I have my little book here.
I'm so glad you took notes, because I so often, I'm so like present in the reading, but then I'll forget absolutely everything. I'll leave and I'll be like, wait, what did she say? And I'll be trying to tell Mark, or because I've had so many of them over the years. And then I'm like, oh my God, I actually totally forget what are all the little important details.
Well, my writing is like chicken scratch. So really, it's just like what I can't really listen and write down at the same time. I was such a bad note taker. But I did write a few things down because I was like, I just really don't want to forget this. And she wrote down that
also,
there's like,
can I just tell you, chicken scratch might be the cutest thing I've ever heard you say. Chicken scratch.
Is that a southern thing? I don't know. Maybe that's a southern thing.
I was like, a little chicken. I was just imagining a little chicken doing a scratch. And I'm like, is that what I'm writing?
I mean, that's what
like?
It looks like. I mean, that's definitely like a southern thing, I think.
that's funny. So cute. It's definitely not Australian.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times, potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or reoccurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/motherdays.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Yeah, so, okay, so a couple other things before we move on, because I just thought it was like really cool, really special. She asked me if, well, there was a lot of things that my dad wanted to relay to me. So he like said a few things, which I just thought was so cool that he came through first, you know, with my great grandmother, but he was like wanting me to know that if there's like a tree that I'm connected to, if there's like a tree that's special or sacred in my backyard or like near me or whatever, like that's a place where we can really connect with each other. And she said just to go to that tree and then he will be there with you. And then she also said that my spirit got, or not my spirit guides, but my angels said that my animal is a butterfly. And it has a lot to do with just like my time and purpose and, you know, like season of life on this earth, but that I'm in this stage right now of like expansion and growth, and that a butterfly symbolizes so much of that. And so she wanted me to know that. And then my dad said to me that he's leaving me feathers and wants me to see the sign of feathers because he's been leaving them for me and wants me to see them, right? Which I also, you guys know how much I love the book signs.
Can I tell you one thing about that?
What? Yes.
Well, because of, remember you said your dad's sign, it was the red thread, right? And I saw that crazy red thread in the shower and I was like, Sarah, I had the red thread in the shower and then I saw a red thread through my white cotton top.
Yes.
For some reason, there was just a red thread in there. And I was like, Sarah, that's so crazy. I feel like your dad's coming through me to you as well. This morning, when I was listening to your message, I didn't tell you this yet. you said feathers, and about 30 seconds later, a feather flew in front of me in my room here. It must have been a feather that's come out of one of the pillows or something. In the beam of light, I just saw this little feather like floating around. And I was like, oh my God, Mark, that's a feather. And he was laughing at me. But I was like, wait, did this just happen again? Is it? Because I didn't know your dad. And I'm like, oh my God, as you're telling me about the feather, like right after this feather just like floats in front of me randomly, just floats in the air, that like must have come out of the quilt or something because I was sitting here in the bed. Anyway, that was so random. And I haven't told you that yet.
No, I love that. It's so cool. Yes. Yeah. I looked back at the beginning of my journal when I had written down the red thread, and it's something that I had asked for my entire team of light. Like that would just be my, like, I wanted a sign for them to know that the connection was happening. So that's when I started getting the red thread, was like through that connection. And so she said that you can get so many different signs, and that you're like the ancestors and your guys on the other side will be sending you signs all the time. And that's what Laura Lynn Jackson says too, which is just so cool.
And Sarah is about to have an amazing experience with Laura Lynn Jackson that me and Beati got for her birthday, which is how to unlock your psychic self. So she gets to be in with Laura Lynn Jackson, if anyone is in Los Angeles, of January, you'll see Sarah there. But that'll be so fun. She'll come back like a full-blown witch. You have to teach her ways to us all.
I know. Like all of the woo-woo, I mean, you guys are asking for more spiritual talk. So we're obviously very spiritual heavy at the beginning of this year. but what's interesting is that my like angel guides actually said that that is what's going to like continue to grow the Mother Days, is through this like connection and intuition and spirituality and all of this stuff that we're sort of tapping into with each other now, which is so cool. And just one other thing, but I think is just such a cool thing for everybody. But she said that they're telling me to continue to lean into love because it only makes you more magnetic. So The love in your life, the love in your family, but for everything else that I was asking about with work and like, you know, any sort of like materialistic thing outside of just like the normal things that in my life that I love and I'm grateful for. She was like, you just keep leaning into love and what lights you up, that joyful place in your home and, you know, your friendships. And that is what is going to make everything else happen in your life. Like that is going to make it all so much more magnetic, which is just so cool. And that's it. So I don't know, you guys. I mean, some people think this stuff is crazy, and I just like get so excited, and I got really emotional, and I was like so excited to be able to, because I talk to my great grandmother sometimes, and it's so cool even like as a 6-year-old kid to be so connected to someone that like however many years later, she's still there on the other side, like looking out for me and, you know, holding my babies before they come earthside and all of those things. So,
oh my gosh.
Anyway, so special.
That's such a good segue into the story that I wanted to share. Which was I had a pretty profound experience as well, even though I've not had my angel reading yet. I was meant to have it this week, but it looks like it's going to be postponed because I've got work now. But so the other night, so I've had 3 weeks off, obviously, over Christmas. And this week I have started back up at work. And so it was Sunday night, the night before my first day back. And I have obviously haven't been there for a while. And, you know, the last time I was at work, I had a really emotional day. I don't know if I end up talking about that, but I had a really hard day at work. And I was really sensitive because I was editing the podcast that Sarah and I did. I was giving notes on that podcast. Yes. It was a pregnancy loss episode. I was feeling like a lot of big feelings because I was watching it and I was in my trailer, like really emotional. And it was also my son's birthday. And I just had some mum guilt because I didn't get to be there with him. And I knew I was seeing him later that night, but I just wish I could have spent the full birthday with him. And I was just already sensitive. And then this thing happened at work and I just cried in front of everyone, which is so unlike me. And that was kind of the last couple of days that I had at work. So I guess I was coming into work feeling a bit anxious, like, oh my God, it was a bit weird last time I left and I was feeling a bit insecure and all these things. And I just had anxiety. I was just up and Mark was lying next to me. The whole house was asleep. And this is when I start to feel like that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? And we, that day, Sarah and I had actually recorded the episode that's coming out, which will have already come out by the time this is out, where we were talking about when you have anxiety at nighttime and you're feeling overwhelmed, like just dumping it all out, just chucking it down in a journal, getting those big feelings out of your body like a purge. And so I was reminding myself of that as I was trying to fall asleep. Mark was the loudest, like a freight train, like next to me, just the loudest snoring. And usually I can roll him over and I will boot him really hard and roll him over to the side.
Stop it. You kick him. You kick him in the bed.
I literally kick him and I wake him up and I'm like, roll over. Like, you are so loud. And he thinks he doesn't snore. So I've now resorted to recording him. I record him and I'm like, what's this then? Did I just get this off the internet? Did I just Google extremely loud snoring? Like, no.
Can he not believe it?
He just was like, I would know if I snore. I was like,
stop.
How would you know? You're asleep. How would you know? He was like, I would be able to hear it. I like, when you wake up, you would hear a snore. And I was like, that's not how it works. You're a loud snorer. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
He's like, my throat would be sore in the morning.
I know. He was like, he just still denies it. I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Anyway, so I kick him. Kick him and I wake him up and I'm like, just so you know, I've had no sleep. And he was like, like rolls over to the side, still snores, still snoring on the side. That's usually how we stop it, but nope, still going for it. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
That's the worst.
So I'm digging my earplugs in as far as it can go, like literally right down to the eardrum, like pushing them so far into my ears. I'm like, okay, somehow I'm going to find relief. I'm going to get to sleep. And I'm just like in my head, like, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Like, just going through the dumbest shit. Like, just like, will it be weird at work? Am I a good actress? Maybe I'm a bad actress. Like, just sort of all this dumb shit, right? And it just is always more vulnerable at nighttime when you're the only one awake. So I was like, okay, I'll write in my journal. And I just like did verbal diarrhea, just wrote some stuff out. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling better. And then as I was like settling back in and trying to listen to my breath, I just decided, oh, I'm just going to pray to my Nana. And this is the woman that I talked about during that episode with Taylor Page, how I've been feeling her a lot lately. And so I was like, oh, because I don't generally pray. I used to be like, dear God, like in the name of the Father, Son, dear God, blah, blah, blah. When I was younger, that's how I would pray. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to talk to her because Taylor Page said that they listen to you and they can hear you. Your past loved ones can hear you. So I'm just going to say it. And I'm like, dear Nana, I love you so much. I miss you so much. I've been thinking about you. I've been feeling you around me. And the thing that really hurts my heart the very most is that you have not had the opportunity to enjoy my children and get to know them and just see the way they are and interact with them. And you know, I know that you brought them to me though, and I'm so grateful. And it's the number one thing we would talk about when we were together was having a big family. My Nana had 8 kids and she would always say like the greatest gift in life is being a mother and you're going to have so many kids. And it was the thing that we bonded over. So I was talking to her like this and I was like, I love you so much, Nana. And I just really have been missing you. And that was it. And then straight after I said that, I fell straight to sleep, which is great. So in the morning, I wake up at like 8 a.m., which is a nice sleep in for us. I'm like up at 8 and I was like, oh, and I immediately remembered the dream that I just woke up from. I literally woke up out of the dream and then said to Mark, the most amazing thing just happened. And then I burst into tears and he was like, what? And I was like, I need to write it down before I forget. I'm writing it down. Hang on 1 second and then I'll tell you. So then I just wrote everything down that I remembered from this dream. And I just went again, verbal diarrhea, but from the dream, remembering all these little details so that I wouldn't forget. And then I told Mark what happened. So the dream I was having was actually earlier in that day, the girl who's helping us with our children right now while I work, and she said that she bumped into this guy that I follow online, and he's I guess he was on The Bachelor or something, but I follow him because I was on a podcast that his wife does. And so she had interviewed me for this podcast. And so I follow her on Instagram. She's really funny. And I repost some of her little skits that she does with her husband. They're a really cute couple and they got 2 girls. Anyway, so she told me that earlier in the day. So I'm guessing this is why I was dreaming that I was at their house. So in the dream, I'm at this couple's house. Like, I don't know them that well. I just have met them through Instagram and I was on her podcast. But anyway, so I'm randomly at their house, like in Bondi. I don't even know if they live in Bondi, but according to my dream, we were in Bondi at their house. It was me and Mark and all of our kids, and our kids were in their lounge room watching a movie with their kids. And I was in the other room chatting to them. I think I was in a bedroom chatting to this couple, and Mark was there, and they had to get going. So it was time to leave this house in my dream. And I was like, all right, Mark, like we should go. We should let them. They need to get ready to leave. So let's like get the kids together and we'll go. And Mark's like, okay. So, and I'd been talking to the mom about how cute her daughter was. I guess maybe in the dream I had just been watching her daughter for an hour or something. And I was saying like, oh, she's so beautiful and so connected and blah, blah, blah. So we're having this conversation. I'm like, all right, ready to go. So I walk out of the bedroom into the lounge room to go and get our kids packed up and ready to leave. And I walk straight into the lounge room and I stop dead in my tracks. And my Nana is sitting on the couch in the middle of my children. Oh my God. Children are all around her and she's looking right at me in the eye. So I walk in and she's just laser beam focus at me, her eyes sparkling, and there's this buzz, this bright, like this light emanating from her. And I've never seen her look more beautiful. Her hair was little bit longer than it usually is. And it was this silvery color, like perfectly blow dried into this little bob, which I have not seen in years on her. She passed away when I was 24. And she was also like really voluptuous, like really like her nice, beautiful, because I used to remember like cuddling into her big bosoms. She had really big bussies. She used to call them her bussies. And I would snuggle into her big bussies. And she had this, you know, she was just like a bigger lady and it made her more cuddly. And in this like thing where I'm looking at her, she's more full and voluptuous, because I think the older she got more frail and she lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And she just was looking obviously more elderly. But she was like in full bloom and just radiating love. And she was looking at me and I like stopped, and it was almost like suddenly I was not in the dream, but I know I was still, it was like a lucid dream. And I was looking at her and she said, "Hello, darling," in her voice, her exact voice.
Oh my God.
Right at me. And I was like, "Oh my God." And I slowly started walking to her and I was like, "Nana." And I just like wrapped my arms around her and I snuggled into her and the kids were hugging us and I nuzzled in to make sure it was her, to smell her perfume that she used to always wear. And it was the exact same perfume, and she was wearing this outfit that I don't consciously remember her wearing, or I hadn't until the dream. Then I'm in this dream and she's wearing this like beige blouse with these brown flowers on it and this really gorgeous little dusty pink cashmere sweater over the top with the little beige blouse collars like poking out, and this brooch, this like pearl brooch that she used to always wear. And I immediately remembered the outfit. I was like, she would wear this, and I used to always comment on how beautiful the pink looked on her. So she's wearing the same outfit that I remember, and she's looking her most beautiful self. And then I give her this hug and I'm smelling her, and it was so comforting. She telepathically says to me, "I'm always with you. I'm here. I'm always with you." And I wake up, and that's when I wake up. And I was like, oh, I had full goosebumps. And then I started crying and telling Mark this story. And I was like, I just had my Nana with me. She just came to visit me. And Taylor Page had said, "You will know it's them because it will only be love. It will only feel positive. It'll be a direct message from them if it feels like love." And it, I have not felt that level of healing and that connection from my Nana since she passed. And I just knew without a shadow of a doubt, she came to me because I had prayed to her that night. And she also came to me in a way that showed me that I am with your children. I'm with your children every day. I see them. Yeah. I experience them. I'm not missing out on them, because that's how she decided to come to me in this dream, is surrounding her great-grandchildren. With them, which is like what I said in my prayer to her, was like, that's the thing that like breaks my heart the most. So it was so beautiful. And then the kids came in as I was crying, and Bodhi was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "No, the most amazing thing just happened." I told them all the story, and then Poet got my phone and started recording me and was like, "So Mum, tell me about the story again about how I saw my Nana." And I was so, there's this really funny little 4-minute video where like I'm trying to stay in the frame of the video because she's like pointing it further down. So I'm like trying to duck down to stay in the frame, like while saying this story. It's all wobbly. And the kids have told so many friends, like, "Oh, and my mum's Nana, our great Nana came to her in a dream. My mum saw her, the ghost of Nana." And I was like, wow. Anyway, so it was such a beautiful, and Mark so eloquently put it. He was like, "If you're ever looking for validation that these things exist, that these things are real, like those sorts of moments in your life are such good, beautiful reminders that there's just so much magic in the world and that we can lean into those things and feel comforted by them. And, you know, ask and it is given. Honestly, it was so beautiful. So that was my woo-woo experience and perfect timing, the top of the year. And she gave me that confidence to go to work the next day and just be, and I had the best day at work. I had such an amazing day. I was connected with everyone. We were laughing. I felt great about the scenes. I loved seeing everyone again. I was like, oh, this feels like home. Perfect. So
yeah.
Anyway, that was my little experience.
Oh, wow. That is so amazing. And I think like, as you were, you know, sort of saying that, like what Mark was saying at the end there, it just kind of came into my mind that, you know, it's so awesome to have those moments in our lives where we can kind of feel that connection to the other side or to our ancestors or to our angels or to our loved ones or, you know, whatever it is, because there is so much that goes on in life, you know, like if you're talking about loss or hardships or like pregnancy loss or, you know, just like that anticipation of like, am I going to get pregnant or, you know, when is the right time? And like all of these things that come up, it's like, you know, it really is so beautiful when you have those validating moments that kind of show you that it's just, there's just so much more than we really understand. And if you can find a way to connect, if you can write it down or just like what you did where you prayed to your Nana and then you had this amazing, profound experience, I think it's just really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it can feel a little like silly, you know, like silly to, you're like, I don't know. Does this feel silly? I'm like just out loud talking to my dad or like, you know, whatever it is. And whatever that is it ego or just being human, like let that go and just really trying to like get into it, into your body and connect to that. So anyway, I love that you shared that experience. It's such a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I wanted to ask you, Sarah, how does it feel to have been through the pregnancy loss, to have felt that elation, that excitement, and sort of planning how like the next 9 months of your life is going to look? How are you not becoming fixated on the timing? Have you been able to free yourself from knowing the outcome, the specific timing, and you're just being present and allowing it to unfold? Or do you still have wobbles where you're like, I just want to know when?
I think that's such a great question. And I will say that it was really nice that we kind of stepped into the relaxing holiday season after all of that. You know, I had this pregnancy loss that started on Thanksgiving Day. And then, you know, through December, I had another cycle and I got to like track my cycle and everything just to see like, how's my body working? Am I going to have another period after? Like, you know, that part is just, you're kind of curious, like, how sometimes it could take people 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting process. And my doctor was like, just be aware of your body and like your cycle and everything. And don't try right away. Like wait, you know, wait another cycle. And then if you want to start trying again, you can. But what was interesting is that I think the last time that I had a pregnancy loss, I did find myself feeling like that anxiousness of like, okay, like I really got to get through this cycle. And then, all right, I'm going to count down the days and like, you know, just really like prepping myself for the next time to try. And in this process, I found myself starting to do that again. And then I reminded myself like, a really important part of this is self-care during this time and healing. And so I took my focus and I just put it back towards that, which was a healing time. Mm-hmm. And so it was like nourishing my body, being restful, not overdoing anything when the holidays got hectic and everything with like school and all the stuff. I just allowed myself to like pull back a little bit and I just didn't overdo anything. I didn't say yes to things that didn't feel right. And I just like kept putting me and the family like first and just kept mm-hmm. saying like, no, I'm not going to that. No, that's not going to happen. No, that doesn't feel good. Tonight I'm going to stay in. I'm going to go to bed at 7:30, like whatever it is, you know, I just kept like nourishing that part of myself. And it didn't come up for me, the feelings of like anxiousness of like, okay, I can't wait for this to happen. And, you know, mm-hmm. I started to feel when the next cycle came, I started to feel like, okay, like timing wise, it's coming at like a crazy time because there was like a lot of travel going on and whatever. So timing wise, I was like, if it happens this time around, it's a miracle. But if it doesn't, then, you know, that's okay. And I'm not going to stress out about it because, you know, like I told you guys before that there's been a few signs that have pointed towards a specific time of year when it's going to, when the baby is like going to come through. And, I'm just kind of like allowing that to sit in my heart because, I asked for those signs and they came in a lot of different ways. And so now I'm just like sitting back and going, okay, like, you know, even today with this reading with Taylor, it's like my dad and my great grandmother both holding baby. And I'm like, is that because it's twins? Or or is that because each one of you? I was like, is that because, I didn't say that's that, but immediately I was thinking like, wait a minute. No, but it's just like, you know, it's kind of nice. It's like a similar process in which I guess like I went through with the pregnancy loss, but I'm just not trying to put any pressure on myself. Now, mm-hmm. 4 months from now, I could be feeling really differently if I'm still, you know, trying and things are not happening and everything sort of seems like it's all lined up and right. Like I could be in a different place, but right now I feel really good about it. And I think like when you're taking care of yourself, nourishing yourself, eating well, like, you know, drinking the water you're supposed to drink or like eating the foods or taking the supplements. Like I'm just such a big believer in needed. And I keep taking their egg quality support and things that I know are just like full of amazing antioxidants and are like boosting me from the inside, especially at my age. You know, it's not like my acupuncturist said something really funny. He was like, you know, when you're in your like early 20s, you go out, you get drunk, you have sex on your period, and then you're pregnant. He's like, it's really different when you're older.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no joke. I mean, you're like, wait, I thought I was still bleeding when I had sex and now I'm pregnant. I've heard so many of those stories where you're like,
gotten
pregnant with that. Yeah, exactly. With baby at like 7 days, you know, post your cycle start date. So anyway, so I just, I'm so glad you asked that question because if anybody else is in that position at this time, I would say like one of the things that's really helped me through this process was taking my focus and shift off of like the timeline, the date, the like all of that putting it on like age gap. Yeah. All of that. Like I'm just like letting that go and just saying,
that's so nice.
I just need to focus on like nourishing, taking care of, honoring like me, Eric, the kids, you know, and just that, and knowing that when it's time, it's going to happen, you know, and let 1 month at a time.
That's such a beautiful way to be. I remember when I was trying to get pregnant with my second child, Forrest, which I knew would be a boy because I had like manifested that I wanted two little boys in a row and then two little girls in a row. Anyway, I remember it was the sole focus of my life was having another baby. Mm-hmm. Like that was my whole world was that. Everything else was second to the goal of making sure I have a sibling for Bodhi. Like that was, and it drove me insane. I mean, I've talked about it before. It was not a great period of time in my life because I was living in these, you know, those 2 week increments, like 2 weeks until I can try again, 2 weeks until like I can test, 2 weeks until I can try again, 2 weeks until I can test. And I was letting every like external thing trigger me, which was I would see pregnant women on the street and I'd immediately feel jealous or upset, or pregnancy announcements on social media or friends being like, oh my God, I didn't even try and I'm pregnant. Oh, oops. Ah, I wasn't even trying. Wow. It happened so fast. So I had my first go around, you know, and I'd be like, hey, fantastic. Right. So happy for you, but not at all. And then I'd like be muting feeds and just like, oh my God. But of course, it's the only thing that I was Googling at the time. So like all my algorithms, everything was showing me stuff all the time. So it was really confronting. Yes. And I know there are people listening right now who are like, hello, that is me. So me. I guess
That's okay. We advice, see you. We see you guys.
We see you. But the advice would be if you can, exactly what Sarah's doing, like she's living her life. She is going about living her life, still doing all the same things she was doing. And like having that be, it's a thought, it's around, you're trying, but it isn't the be all and end all. Your whole world's focus isn't on the timing of this baby. It's just the trust and the letting go. Like this baby will join when this baby's going to be joining our family. And maybe that baby wants in right now, but maybe the baby's like, I'm actually going to wait a couple more months because I want this to happen for my mom before I jump in. Like maybe there's a work opportunity or maybe there's something else. And there's just like the divine timing of it all. So that's why I was really curious to see if you were dipping into that anxiety realm, which I spiraled into for a number of months when I was trying to conceive Forrest.
Yeah.
And we also have a very good friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours going through it at the moment. She's been trying to get pregnant and she's been trying to get pregnant for a while and then she's been traveling but she's got a lot of stress in her life. And then I was having her use these ovulation sticks. I was like, use the digital ovulation sticks, which I told Sarah to use. And I always tell everyone to use these like digital flashing, clear blue, the purple ones. And she was using them.
I even did it wrong, by the way. I did it wrong.
I know, because I was like, you have to do it the day after you finish your period.
I was like, oh, no wonder I only had one flashing day and one solid day. I was like, because it needs the data. I totally screwed that one up.
To compare something to.
I didn't know it was smart.
Anyway, I didn't know it was smart. It's pretty smart. It's pretty cool. But she said to me, which I thought was so awesome, because I was unable to do this when I was in her position when I was trying to have my second child. She said to me a couple of days ago, she was like, you know what? I'm actually just taking a break. I'm taking a break from thinking about it, from obsessing about it, from using the ovulation sticks, because it was like controlling her life. And I was like, okay, that is so mature. That is so mature. So the right like way forward, to just like release the control over the outcome and just sitting in a place of presence and just letting it unfold the way it's meant to unfold. So I just thought, I'm really proud of her, because it took me so long to figure out that that's the way forward, you know? And when I did, I got pregnant with Forrest the very next cycle.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. I actually still use the ovulation sticks and apparently wrong sometimes. And and then I do test way too early for the pregnancy test. Like it's like 6 DPO. Days sooner. Pretty much. I'm like testing way too early. Like that happened the last time where I tested and I was like, oh, it's like, maybe I have these like days wrong. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm like way early.
Did you get a positive?
And then I did get
really early.
Mm-hmm. Last time I got a positive on cycle day 22.
It's just like really which is early. How many days past ovulation?
That was, I don't remember. I mean, I think I ovulated on day 12.
That's
days.
Not that early.
Exactly.
10 DPO, yeah. Girl. Oh, that's well, not, it's... I'm, that's not that early. Oh my God. There are people who start testing with FMU at 8 DPO, which is first morning urine at 8 days past ovulation.
Okay. That is when I originally tested, though, and then was like, oh, I think it went too early.
That'll be a BFN.
And then I got a positive on the day 22 of my cycle. So it was like 10
DPO.
DPO.
No, 10 DPO. 10 days past ovulation. DPO. I know. I was so deep in the fertility forums. I still send my friends. I'm like, how many DPO are you? Okay, you need to test it at 9 DPO with your FMU, or you can do it at like a 6-hour urine hold and try again and send me the line. I did that with my friend who's pregnant right now. And I was like, it's 9 DPO. Go for it. Go. I know when you're 9 DPO.
I think I'm 10 DPO. Is it today? Am I 9 DPO today?
No, I think you're 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, if you're in Australia, you're 10 DPO. But you're the 9. So I think you're 9. I think you're 9. So yeah. Your first morning urine today, you would have been able to test. Tomorrow morning, FMU.
There you go. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I love it. Well, we'll definitely keep you guys updated. Obviously, I'm being very transparent and I'm happy to be really transparent on this journey because, sharing what I shared before was so, it just like was so special how it resonated with everyone. And now we're just in it. Now you guys are just in it with me. Mm-hmm. So this is
in it.
This is what I'm doing.
You know how many people
are updated with what I'm taking.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll keep you updated.
You're also looking particularly beautiful as well. There's a radiance emanating from you. Yeah, your skin is glowy.
Actually, my skin is clearing up, you guys. I had so much outbreak happening over the last few months. I'm sure just with everything that was going on. And like my doctor friend told me that my body was like trying to detox too much because I was in the sauna like every day. And I love being in the heat. And he was like, you're overdoing it. And so I was getting like all the cystic acne. And over the holiday, it was just with like a de-stress and unplug and everything. It just kind of like cleared up. So it feels really good to not have all that pain around my face. I had so much pain here and on my chin, and I'm glad that that's gone. So thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, girl. Anytime. That's what I'm here for.
Well, daisies, thank you for joining us for this part woo-woo, part mother talk today. And if anybody else is going on this journey with me, then I can't wait to hear all about it. And Tez, I have to say that, there's definitely moments where I feel, it's not that I don't feel things that come up, but I will say that I can definitely pick out moments of growth. You know how you like see moments of growth in yourself? And, there's this like Peloton instructor that I love so much, and she's pregnant and I do all my workouts with her on the Peloton and sort of following her journey, her pregnancy. And I was probably about 10 weeks or 9 weeks behind her when I had my pregnancy lost. And so now I'm continuing to watch her belly grow and everything. And every time I see it, it brings me so much joy. Like every time I do a workout with her and I see her pregnancy, like her belly and like her doing her workouts and everything, it just makes me smile the whole time. And I just want to, there's so many instructors and I just want to work out with her because I'm like, it just makes me feel, it lights me up. And that's where I can see like growth because that might've made me feel like oh, like, you know what I mean? Like before, years ago, that could have made me feel like triggered. Yeah. And it just doesn't anymore. And that could be because I've had multiple children. It, you know, everybody's journey is different, right? And definitely if I had had one child and I was going to two children and I was nervous about, you know, not having sibling, just like what you said, it could be that way. But anyway, I just think it's fun to also, and important to like notice those moments of growth that you see in yourself where you're like, okay, I can see where maybe before this would have bothered me and it's not bothering me now. And I got to like, just sort of acknowledge that, you know, and say like, oh, it's cool that this is like bringing me joy. So anyway,
I love that.
Well, guys, we love you, and we have some fun guests coming up for you. So stay tuned, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye, Daisy.
Bye.